I'm going to get your Bibles, and we're going to turn to the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter 18. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And we're going to read some verses from this passage of God's Word, and we'll commence reading at verse number 9. So let's follow the Word of God, and he that hath ears to hear, if you haven't your Bible, bring it with you. If you haven't one, well, of course, if there's a person beside you, just give them a tap on the shoulder and say, could I look on with you? And if you can't get one, just he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And by the grace of God, we'll read the Word of God together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and the verse number 9. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing. Keep your Bibles open. We'll bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise thee for thy goodness to us tonight. We bless thee for this old fashion gospel tent where the Word of God will be proclaimed. And I pray that you'll help us night after night to preach Christ in all of His beauty and all of His glory. We thank Thee that Thou hast provided in Christ Jesus a wonderful Savior, that men and women need not perish, but they have everlasting life. And so to this end I pray that Thou will help me to preach Thy Word and be faithful to the souls of those that are gathered in this tent tonight. For we pray in Jesus' precious and His lovely name, and for His sake. Amen and amen. The famous preacher, Dr. Ari Torre, was preaching on this passage of God's Word in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And he talked about the deluded Pharisee and the delivered publican. And he entitled the message at that time, The Story of a Good Man Lost and a Bad Man Saved. And friend, I think that's a very appropriate title for this, because it's the story of a good man that was lost and a bad man that was saved. Now, I want to give you the background to this. The Lord Jesus Christ is on His way to Jerusalem. And remember, of course, as He makes that journey towards Jerusalem, He is going to the cross. And there the Lord Jesus will shed His precious blood and die in our guilty room instead. But before arriving at Jerusalem, He enters into a certain village. In chapter 17, in verse number 12, it says, And as Jesus entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And so the Lord Jesus Christ enters into this particular village. We find indeed that through parables He addressed the question that was on the hearts of many of the people. And you know, one of those parables recorded in this 18th chapter, from verse number 9 down to the verse number 16. And that parable had got a special significance, because we're not left to speculate why the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this parable, because He tells us it. If you look there in verse number 9, you've got the reason why the Lord Jesus spoke this parable. Or it says in verse number 9, And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. And therefore we have got the context of why the Lord Jesus Christ spake this parable unto this congregation of. And there was a twofold reason. First of all, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. In other words, they were self-righteous. And they had, through their self-righteousness, they had a certain security that somehow that they were different than other people were. They trusted in their own works to get them to heaven. And let me tell you, my friend, there are multitudes in Portadown and in Armagh and in Tandragee and all around this country, and they're exactly living their lives in that very same way. They are trusting in themselves, and they believe that they are righteous. And the Word of God reminds us that there are those who are self-righteous. In other words, they are going to heaven. They don't need the cross. They don't need the blood. They don't need God's pardon. They don't need God's forgiveness. My friend, they don't need salvation because they're good enough. And I tell you, this countryside is filled with them. People who are mighty think they're good enough to get to heaven. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ spake this parable unto such people. They had a known self-security, a self-righteous security, that somehow they were good enough in themselves, that God owed them salvation, that God owed them an entrance into heaven itself. But my friend, the Word of God says, listen to what the Bible says. And you'll find that the very heart of our messages night after night, it's not what McCrae says, it's what God says. And friend, I want to tell you this. Any argument you'll have, I'll tell you, you take it up with him. Because I can tell you, I'm going to preach God's Word. Now the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I can tell you, friend, if you could get to heaven in your own works, then you would say, God, I didn't need your Son. I didn't need his blood. I didn't need salvation. I made it to heaven my way. I'll tell you, my friend, you'll never make it that way. And I'll tell you why. The book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And friend, listen, it seems right to you. You think that by doing the best you can, that that's good enough to get you through the pearly gates. And I have no doubt about it. It seems right to you. It seems right to you. You don't need this salvation business because you're not as bad as some other people are. And you're not down in the gutters of sin. And friend, listen, you don't see your need of God's salvation. But the Word of God tells me there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof. The end thereof is the way of death. And I tell you, that's what's going to count, the end thereof. And so we have got to be very careful tonight that we stick to the book. And the preacher that stands in this pulpit, I'll tell you this, I'm going to stick to the Word of God, whether people like it or lump it on this Armagh Road, I'm going to stick and preach the whole counsel of God as God has given it, because if I didn't do it, I shouldn't be here. I've no reason to come this whole distance from Macrofell to this if I haven't a message from God. And friends, tonight I want you to, listen, that's why it's important, bring your Bibles, because we're going to study God's book. We're going to hear what God has got to say. And the Lord Jesus Christ brought this parable to a people because they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. But then you notice the second reason. It says not only in verse number 9, because they were righteous, but they despised others. In other words, their self-righteous scorning of others. In other words, the word despised means to consider or treat as nothing. Because somebody else wasn't in the Pharisaical religion, and he wasn't a Pharisee, my friend, he was cast aside. They elevated themselves by pushing others down. You know, there's people like that. And they'll elevate and they'll talk about how good they are. And my God owes salvation to me and God owes heaven to me. But you see that other person, they're certainly going to hell. My friend, these people despise others. And the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a kind of person like that. They were self-righteous, but they looked down their nose at somebody else. I want to tell you this. I don't know where many of you have come from, and God alone knows your background and everything else. But I want to tell you, there's something about it.
the preacher in this pulpit to the last person in the pew or the seats around this place, I want to tell you, every one of us are on the same level. As far as God is concerned, then, you're no different than me and I'm no different from you. If you pierce me, I bleed the same as you bleed. My heart's the same as your heart, because in my natural state, my heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says, and it's desperately wicked. And I need a new heart. I don't need a renovation job. I need a real topper of a job. And it's only the Lord can save me and change me and make me, as the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature, not a renovation. But thank God it is a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, there's three things in this passage of God's Word. First of all, there's religion here. And I tell you this country of ours is cursed with it. People that are relying on their religion to get them to heaven. I'm telling you this, my friend. It's not more religion you need. It's Jesus you need. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to preach a church tonight. I mean, listen, I love the free church, and I've been in it, believe it or not. When it comes to February of next year, I've been in it 50 years. But I want to tell you something. I'm not telling you the free church is the way to heaven, friend, because it's not. It's not. Joining the free church, let me tell you, will not take you through the pearly gates. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, there's religion here. Secondly, there's rejection here. The sad reality is this. There's a man that left the scene, friend, in this parable, and he turned his back on God's salvation and went to hell. What an awful thing. What an awful thing for a precious soul to reject the blessed Son of God. And then thirdly, there's redemption here. Thank God there was a man who was saved. There's a man in the story that was redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the two men, because the Lord Jesus has done that. He's divided this story into two. Now, come with me in verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Now, they went into the same temple. They went into the same place. Listen, it's very possible for you sitting in the same seats here all across this tent tonight, but let me tell you, there's a division. There's a division. And here were two men, and they went up into the temple to pray. Now, they went up, my friend, the same way. They came the very same way. And I tell you this, as far as God is concerned, every man starts in the position of sinners. There is no difference, the Bible says. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You might be think you're up and out, and somebody else is down and out, but let me tell you, if you're unsaved, you're out. Outside of Christ. And friend, you need to be in Christ. Thank God, when you're in Jesus Christ, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you'll never perish, neither shall any man, woman, demon, or devil himself put you into hell. For thank God, he saves with an eternal, glorious, wonderful salvation. That's the business that Christ is in. He's in the business passing this way for the salvation. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, there's two men when they went into the temple to pray. That's what the Bible tells me. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. He said the one was a Pharisee, and he said the other was a publican. Now, let me tell you, my friend, when you talk about publican, he's not a Republican, he's a publican. And whenever you think about it, he's not standing at the bar pulling some old liquor of the devil. He was a tax collector. That's what it meant in the scripture time. And these two men go into the temple to pray. Now look at verse number 11. The Pharisee, the Lord Jesus picks the first one out. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, I want you to follow this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking here. And the Lord Jesus is listening to this Pharisee as he goes there into the temple to pray. Now, it could be said that there are many good characteristics about this man. He represented a class of people about whom much is written in the Scriptures. Pharisees, let me tell you, my friend, the word there signifies to separate. They were separated ones. Now, let me say this. He wasn't separated like the lepers. Because remember, the lepers were separated from the rest of the people, and they had to put their hand, and they had to cry, unclean, unclean. They were put outside. They were put outside the city, and they were put outside the camp. They were separated. Yes, they were driven out. But my friend, let me tell you this. The Pharisees were not separated because they were separated unto the Lord. No, no, no. They were separated unto their religion. And because of their own pride, because they supposed that they were superior in their piety, that they were different than others were. They were the people that, in actual fact, they give attention to the smallest points of the law, but they neglected the true commandments of God. Now, Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. Just remember that. And my friend, let me tell you, he was very religious. Saul of Tarsus was very... But the amazing thing about Saul of Tarsus was this. He was a man that was going down as a Pharisee to persecute the Christians. He believed that he was doing God's work. And yet, whenever the Lord met him on the Damascus Road and he fell from the horse onto the dusty pathway, and Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" What did Saul say? "Who are you, Lord?" He had religion, but he didn't know the Lord. And friend, let me tell you, there's multitudes of people like that. They've got religion. Yes, they go to church. They say their prayers. They bow their heads. They read their Bibles. My friend, they sing in the choir. They teach perhaps even the Sunday school. Maybe they're a member of a committee. Maybe they're an elder in some meeting house. But I want to tell you this. You can have all of those things and still be lost. None of those things take you to heaven. Jesus Christ alone. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is necessary. Is it of a necessity? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, of course, the Pharisees, as I said, there were good characteristics here. Listen, it was his custom to go to the temple to pray. In other words, he believed that he needed to pray. He needed to pray. But friend, let me tell you, he wasn't a fool that said in his heart there's no God. That didn't see there was a need for to pray. Yes, he believed there was a God. And he went into the temple to pray. He wasn't a man that had to be forced. You know, some people, they never pray until their back's against the wall and there's nothing that can else, nobody else can help them. And then, "Preacher, would you call on God to help me?" Now, this man's back wasn't against the wall, friend. He was religious. But he was lost. No wonder there's someone sitting in this tent tonight, friend, before God, and God's looking into your heart, and God knows your heart far better than you know it. And friend, all you've got is got a formality of religion, but you're still lost. You've never been saved. You've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And here was a man, let me tell you, I want you to look at him. Here's this Pharisee. He makes his way to the temple at the scheduled time of prayer. It was his custom. You know, there are many people who go to church because it's their custom. My mommy did it. My daddy did it. I was always sent there. Friend, that's good. Thank God you go to the place where God's word is open. But I can tell you, that's not taking you to heaven. That'll not take you through the pearly gates. And when you close your eyes in death, you'll not be asked when you stand on the day of judgment, "Listen, did you attend church or did you not?" It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing it'll count. That you're born again of the Spirit of God, that your sins have been washed in the Savior's blood. Here was a man that was his custom to go to the temple to pray. But notice what Jesus said about how he was praying. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now I want you to come with me. I want you to notice, first of all, he prayed by himself. He prayed by himself. You see, he stood. Now, that was a common Jewish posture in prayer. But he stood in a certain place where he knew that he could be seen and where he could be heard by others. And they looked upon him. There's a religious man. But friends, listen. He didn't mingle with the publican. He didn't mingle with the others, you see. He was a person that despised others. He looked down his nose at others. They were not good enough to stand in his presence. No, the Bible says that he stood there and he prayed with himself. He felt that others were unworthy to be near his holy person. A holier than thou attitude. Friend, let me tell you, he had his rules and he had his regulations, but he had a hard heart. Never threw himself on the mercy of God, friend, because he didn't believe he needed God's mercy. And there he's standing with his clothes and in his posture and his flowing robes, full of religion. He stood. Notice, it says he prayed with himself. He prayed with himself. And friend, that was an accurate description. You see, this was not real prayer. He prayed with himself. He wasn't talking to God, let me tell you, my friend. He was talking aloud to himself. In other words, his prayers were rituals, formality. Maybe, friend, that's all you have. Oh, you need to have the prayer, somebody to hand you the prayer, maybe the prayer book, because let me, you have no prayers for yourself. You see, here's a man, and he's talking aloud with his formality, because it says he prayed with himself. God's not in this prayer. Let me tell you, God got one mention, do you notice that? God got one mention. Do you know who got the rest? Himself. Himself. God, I thank thee. And what was he thanking God? He says, God, I thank you. I'm not as other men are. Look at me, God. Then he's standing there and he's praying. And he's praying aloud and the people are listening to him. But of course they're not standing with him. No, he's praying by himself and with himself. Something else. He's praying about himself. His prayer's all about him. This is not real intercession before God. He says, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. And then he says, notice, I fast. I fast twice in the week, verse 12. I give tithes of all I possess. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm certainly not even as that publican over there. God, I'm not like him. The word extortioner means one who snatches away. And that was a swipe at the publican. Because you see, friend, the taxmen of that day, they were known as the crooked Roman tax collectors. And they took more. They snatched more. And they should. Of course, we all think the taxman still does that. But he took more than was needed. Lord, I'm not an extortion. I'm not unjust. Means to treat others unfairly. She had the appearance of honesty. God, I'm honest. I'm not a thief. I'm law-abiding. I'm not a criminal. I'm a good citizen. I'm not a lawbreaker. I'm sober. I'm not a drunkard. No. I'm not unjust. And I'm a good husband. I'm not an adulterer. I don't know whether he was talking about the publican at that time or not, Ben. I don't know. But he certainly was talking about himself. He says, I'm pure in mine own eyes. And then he says, of course. And just he can't, before he finishes praying, Ben, he just can't get away without swiping, even as this publican. I'm not like him. You see, he used the publican to make himself look good. Do you not see what's happening here, friend? There's no sense in this man's heart of his own sin. He doesn't see his sin. Tell me, do you? You know that God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? But this man, he doesn't see he's falling short. This man, he has no sense of any failure in his life. And no, I thank you, Lord, I'm not as others. Tell you something else. He's no sense of need. You notice he never asked God for one thing. You notice that prayer. Never asked God for one thing. Do you know why? Because he didn't think he needed anything from God. And I'm asking a question today. Dear unconverted person in this meeting, do you see your sin as God sees it? Do you know that you're a sinner? And my friend, in your sin, you've fallen short. You're a failure. You've fallen short of the glory of God. God has set us standards, but you're not able to keep it. None of us could. That's why we need a Savior. My, if we could keep it, if we could do all these things ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus. But this man didn't sense any need from God at all. All he needed was himself. And there are multitudes of men and women in Porta Down Fen, and they're living like that, listen, and they're dying like that. And they're going to hell like that. No sense of their lostness. He didn't realize that all his self-righteousness was outward, but he had nothing inward. And yet the Bible tells me, man looks on the outward appearance. That's not what God does. God looks in the heart. Friend, is your heart right with God? Be honest before God. Is your heart right with God? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. But thank God one night Nicodemus knew there was something wrong. And he came to Jesus one night long ago and he asked the Savior an important question. And friend, as he made his way to the Lord Jesus, yes, in the darkness of the night. And some people say, what a coward Nicodemus was. He wasn't willing to come out into the open and come to Christ. Thank God he came. Thank God he came. And friend, Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, Nicodemus, listen, marvel not that I said unto you, Nicodemus. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because Nicodemus was surprised. He did marvel. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I could see Nicodemus looking behind him to see who the Lord's talking to. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus thought he was looking at somebody else. And Jesus Christ then made it very personal. He says, I'm not talking to somebody else, Nicodemus. I'm talking to you. Except a man. I'm talking about you, Nicodemus, the man. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. And he will never enter the kingdom of God. He said, I'm not as other men are. He was wrong, friend. He was absolutely wrong because he was. He was a sinner. And I have to say this honestly before God, friend. Listen, if you do not see yourself as a sinner, you will never, listen to me carefully, you will never be saved. Because that's the first step. To acknowledge you're a sinner. Acknowledge your sinner. Isaiah the prophet said, all we like sheep have gone astray. He didn't say some. He didn't say most. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, every last one, to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him, that's on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Do you see yourself as a sinner tonight? Maybe you're saying, well,
I'm not as bad as others. I can tell you there's boys around, maybe even in this meeting. And Lord, I can tell you, if I was to give their reputation, let me tell you, you forget about the other person, friends. Listen, God's dealing with you. You see, the day when you stand before God, you're not giving account for that other person, whoever they are. It's just you and him. And do you know what you'll find, friend? That's more than enough to answer for. Remember about one time an old boy used to come to my congregation. Thank God he came for years to the meetings, and there used to be a pub in a wee village outside Macrofeld, and Matt used to go into the pub, and people used to say he went in and they never knew whether he was sitting at the bar. He didn't know whether he was holding the bar up or the bar was holding him up. And he'd sit there on a Saturday night and he'd talk to the men and he'd tell them all they needed to be saved. Matt wasn't saved. He used to preach to them. One day I was talking to Matt and I says, Matt, let me ask you a question, friend. And you see, I'm going to tell you, Mr. McKay. He says, in this village, let me tell you, up that village there, he says, where I live, there's a woman, and I can tell you all about her. And he says, she goes to a prayer meeting, and she's a big Bible under her arm. Let me tell you, it's nearly bigger than herself. And I want to tell you, she's the biggest hypocrite in this village. And boys, he was really going, I says, Matt, just stop a minute, son. Stop. See, the day when you stand before God, Matt, you'll not answer for her. It's just you and God. And maybe, friend, that's the excuse. You're hiding behind somebody else. You remember Adam? Do you remember when God called on Adam? And the voice of the Lord God called from the garden in the cool of the day. And God says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam comes out into the presence of God, and God's dealing personally with Adam. And he said, Adam, what have you done? You know what he said? He says, God, the woman, she gave me. She gave me a night at eight. Now, God, it's her fault. What a spineless, rascal, gutless being. And he shoves his wife out and says, God, it's her fault. She didn't ram her down his throat then. I tell you, it gets more serious. Because when Adam knew his back was against the wall, then he not only said, God, she gave me, and I did eat. You know what he said? He says, the woman, God, that you gave me, she gave me, and I did eat. In other words, God, it's not only her fault, God, it's your fault. Friend, let me tell you, if you're hiding behind somebody else, maybe there is a hypocrite. But let God deal with him. You leave him with God. I'll tell you, God, let me tell you, knows all about that. It's not your business. You don't need to do God's business. It's you do business with God for your soul. Don't you hide behind anybody else, friend. God bringing you out as God did with Adam. God got Adam out. He was hiding in the garden. And there he was hiding. And he'd hid him. And they'd sewed the fig leaves together. They thought they could even hide their nakedness before God. And I can tell you this. God brought them out. And he says, Adam, what have you done? What have you done? Do you see you're a sinner? And then the Lord Jesus turns the story down, verse 13, he says, I'm the publican. Yes, that's the other boy. I'm the publican. You see, he was looked upon as a renegade Jew. He was working for the Roman authorities, collecting the taxes. Remember, other Matthew was a tax collector. Zacchaeus, the wee boy up the tree, he was a tax collector. Now this man's a tax collector. And they were despised. And they were considered corrupt. And they were treated with contempt. Because many extorted more than was due. They were known for their crooked dealings. The Bible says, and the publican
Notice this verse 13. Standing afar off. That's where he was standing. Far off. Yes, he came to the temple that day. But I can tell you he wasn't coming there to be seen. No, no. He was standing afar off. Do you know why? Because he knew he was far from God. And friend, in your sin, you're far from God. Your back's to God, your face is to the world and to your sin. Here's a man and he's standing afar off. He knows he's far away from God. And then Jesus says he would not lift up. He wouldn't even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. In other words, his head was bowed. Why, friend? Because he sensed his unworthiness. He wasn't pleading merit. No. He was pleading mercy. And friend, I can tell you, if you're going to heaven, you'll not plead merit in the presence of God because you have none to offer. But you need to plead the mercy of God.
And he bowed his head. Why did he not lift up his eyes as the Pharisee did? He felt his unworthiness. He felt his sin.
Oh, the burden of sin. The burden of sin was pressing upon him. I don't know what the sins that were pressing upon his soul, but I can tell you this. He knew he was a sinner. Thank God you see that book, friend. There's good news for sinners. There's good news for sinners. There's no good news for those that think they're not. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. He says, I came to call sinners to repentance. And thank God, let me tell you, during this mission, I pray that the Spirit of God would search out men and women and search out your hearts. He felt the burden of sin. Oh, that you would feel the burden of sin. He felt the guilt of sin. Oh, that you might be conscious of the guilt of your sin. You've sinned against a righteous and a holy God. What did David cry out? He said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. He knew his sin was against God. And then let me tell you, you're living without Jesus Christ. And you're taking all the breath that God has given you. And you've taken all the gifts that God has given you. And you've taken all the health that God has given you. And all the blessings that God has given you. And you've living for yourself. And there's room for pleasure and there's room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he could enter. In the heart to which he died. And he stood afar off. He acknowledges in his heart. He was far from God. Because of his sin. And that's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59. Your sin. Nobody else's sin. Your sin. Have separated between you and God. And your sin, there's a gulf between you and God tonight. And it's only Christ can breach that gulf. Yes. He bowed his head. And there was an agony in his heart. It said he smote his breast. He stood there. And it means he kept on smiting his breast. He felt the awful filth of a sin. And then he cried out, God. God be merciful to me,
The word there is the sinner. God be merciful. He asked God for mercy. He confessed me, the sinner.
Thank God there's hope. Thank God there's good news. If you'll take your place as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, friend, I want to tell you, there's great news in this book for you. There's mercy with the Lord. God is seeking sinners. God is calling sinners. And it says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus said this as we come to a close, verse 14. I tell you, says Jesus.
Listen to me, says Jesus. I tell you, this man, this poor, rotten old sinner, this man went down to his house justified, just as if he never had sinned. Cleansed, clean, justified by faith before God rather than the other.
He received instantaneous salvation. In a moment! Thank God in that moment, friend. Listen, Jesus said he went down to his house justified. Thank God he was right with God that day. That moment he called on the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now it may be true that Pharisee was not an extortioner. It may be true that he was not unjust. It may be true that he was not an adulterer. It may be true he was not as that publican. But I can tell you, friend, he was lost. He was lost. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. That's where I started, friend. That's my reputation. I once was lost. But now I'm found. Thank God Jesus found me. I once was blinded by sin. But thank God he opened my eyes. And now I see. Let me ask you. Which one are you in the story? Where are you here? Are you the Pharisee? Too good, you think, to need salvation. You're good enough. You're boasting in your own self-righteousness, in your own works, in your own doings. Yes. You don't see you need to be saved. Why? Because I'm not a sinner. I'm not as other men are. Friend, you're filling your soul. You know, Jesus said, what would it profit a man even if he gained the whole world and he lost his own soul? Think of that, friend. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? What will it profit you, friend, if you gain all the world has got to offer and you lose, listen, your own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is nothing. And there's not a sin, friend, that you love tonight that's worth having. To lose your soul. Are you the Pharisee? Or will you be the poor old publican?
Will you bow your head before God and say, God, be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. Let's pray.